Log Talk Radio.
This is Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Nate Clarfeld, and this is Stonewall Live. Tonight, my guest is Andrew Gray, author of many books. We'll be talking about all the titles. He's a romance author, so get ready for some love, one sexy reader at a time. Andrew, hello. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
We're doing great, great. I am sitting high above the beach. We moved our home and our studio, and I get to look out on a dark, dark ocean while I speak to you. Where are you tonight?
I'm in central Pennsylvania. It's currently raining, and we're expecting snow. So I'm jealous.
Okay, I won't say what I'm wearing.
I'm huddled under a blanket because it's cold.
My partner and I just got home from a pool party. Okay, literally. So I'm still in my swimsuit. Okay, we won't talk about that anymore. Andrew is a romance. I'm going to call you a romance author. Is that okay? A bromance author.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, great. I cannot even count the number of books you've written. I've been to your website. I've checked you on Amazon. How many? Give me the total.
You expect me to count them?
Oh, I thought you'd have them like your children counting them. They're scrolling on my screen now. Go ahead.
Once you get past 40, it gets to be a little hard, and you don't keep track anymore. It's sort
right.
of like birthdays.
Okay. We stay away from birthdays at our age. Totally.
Exactly.
40 books. Well, let me tell the listeners a little bit about the topics of your books. You have a farm series, a range series, the bottled up series, the gym series, the sadder series, the of love series, the taste of love, serving of love. We'll go over some of the titles later. What am I leaving out here? Short stories, bottled up. Oh, you have the bottled up series. I forgot about that. Go ahead.
The art series, which is a sort of a sub-series of the bottled up series.
Oh, okay, because I don't have that. Oh, I do have that. I'm sorry. So you've got over 40 books, because I can't even keep track. How long have you been writing?
A little over 5 years.
Oh, you're kidding. You've put out...
No.
Go ahead.
I write at a rate of about a book a month at this point.
Oh, my God. I don't write a letter a month. No, I blog. I definitely write a lot. You write a book a month, and this is not your full-time job. Is that correct?
That is correct. I do have a full-time job during the day.
Okay, so you're writing in evenings and nights, and you're writing a book a month. That's 30 days. Now, do you write every day?
Every day.
Every
yeah.
day. I'm amazed. I really am amazed. Because we're talking about books that go from farm to lawyers to overseas adventures to the gym to totally fantasy in the sadder series. Wait a minute. I'm going to ask you a question. How much of this is fantasy and how much of this is your real life? If you're writing a book a month, I bet you're living all these hot things, aren't you?
Well, I go to a gym every day, so I have plenty of inspiration there. That's where the gym stories came from.
Uh-huh.
My partner was a pastry chef for 12 years, so the taste of love, serving of love, and soon to be a helping of love coming next month are all set in a restaurant. So that all came from
right.
him.
Great.
I've worked and traveled overseas. I love art, so that's where the art series came from.
Uh-huh.
And my partner currently works as an editor for legal education, so I'm
uh-huh.
around lawyers all the time.
Okay. So am I.
So I just sort of pick up everything as a sponge.
Oh, so, okay. But all these hot men, okay, readers, you're on the computer right now on the show page, but if you want to open up another window, I suggest you go to andrewgraybooks.com, AndrewGreyBooks.com. And you will see a scroll. You'll start to see a scrolling. First of all, you're going to see some of the most gorgeous book covers I have ever seen. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But you'll also see the breadth and scope of Andrew's writing, which is absolutely amazing, considering I had no idea. I thought he was writing these for 20 years. I have a couple of other authors who have been writing for 30 years, and there's only like 6 books. So this is all good. So obviously your books are romance and sex oriented. Do you have any sort of a background, or is this just all from, excuse for the pun, first-hand experience?
First-hand experience, I guess. I mean, I do not have a literary background at all.
Uh-huh.
Other than the required classes when I was in college, I never took an English class that I didn't have to.
Okay.
Basically, in 2007, by that point, I had been at the gym for about 18 months, which was spurned by my father's 70th birthday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, everyone at the party told me how much I looked like my 70-year-old father. I decided it was time to lose weight.
Oh, no.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So I went to the gym, lost weight, spent a lot of time on the treadmill, and I needed something to read. So I picked up gay romance and started reading it, because, after all, what's better to read on the treadmill than sex?
Oh, my God, you're right. Of course. It's always good to read.
So, exactly. So I lost weight, and after a while I figured, I can try to write this. So I did.
Uh-huh. Great.
I wrote my first book in about 2 months.
Uh-huh.
And immediately wrote the second book right after it.
Oh, my goodness. That's great. That's amazing.
And it took about, another year and a half to actually get the first book published.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay,
and then it went from there.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about the mechanics of this a little bit later. The covers, who does your covers? Boy, they are amazing. They just jump out. Some of them are very nice and beautiful and loving, and some of them are just basically a hot. Do you have anything to do with the designing of them, or does someone else design them for you?
They're actually done for me. My publisher, which is Dream Spinner Press, has some amazing graphic artists on staff.
They do.
And
they put together
the most amazing covers.
They are.
But what is really important, and what we do with the first cover with every series, is that one's got to set the tone.
Uh-huh. Right.
So if you look at the Farm series, you'll see that all of those covers have a certain tone about them, and they all have the same thing. Those covers are beautiful, but there's no men on those covers, not many men on those covers. You won't find shirtless people. They're very pastoral and loving, so those have a certain feel to them. The Range series tends to have the shirtless guys on it, and tends to be a little more, a little hotter.
Okay, I see. I got it. So I see what you're doing. Yeah. Very interesting. That's fascinating. Yeah, I see.
And they
got
all have to have.
Thing. Go ahead.
Right, and they all have to have a certain feel to them, otherwise, it doesn't register with the customer.
Right. It reminds me of the Twilight series. You know, the first one had an apple, and the second one had a ribbon, and I can't remember what the third one had. It was very simple, but they all had a theme, and they were very simple. Yeah,
and even if those books did not have the title on them, you knew what they were.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm looking at. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, uh-huh. Okay, I'm going through them. Very interesting. Now, was that your idea, or was that the publisher's idea?
That's both of us.
Okay, good. So you work together with your publisher. How did you find your publisher?
On the internet, actually.
Really?
As I said, I was reading a lot of gay romance.
Uh-huh.
So I had, when I was looking for the second publisher, my first publisher, we just won't talk about. But my second publisher.
First husband, right. Okay, we know about that. Go ahead.
My first publisher only had one book, and they didn't know what they were doing.
Okay.
So my second publisher, which was Dream Spinner Press,
I found them
on the internet, basically because I was reading their stuff, and I liked what they were doing, so when it was time for me to submit my second book, I submitted to them.
Great. That's good. I found my husband on the internet, so it's the same, just as good, right? A whole other radio show. But I did. We met on the internet. It was kind of So I'm going to go back a little bit in your history and stuff like that, because there's got to be something that became Andrew Gray, the author. It didn't happen. You know, five or six years ago. I think it's been going on for a while. What about you as the storyteller? Tell me where the storytelling comes from.
My father. When we were growing up, I have a brother and a sister, and the three of us, we weren't read stories at bedtime. We were told stories. My father made them all up.
Really? Wonderful.
Yeah, he told us all kinds of bedtime stories when we were kids, and I think that's where it came from.
Hmm. Okay, good. So either you were exposed to it or you inherited it.
Well, exactly. My father told stories, and my mother read them constantly.
Okay, so you had literary in your background, and that's mm-hmm. great. No, that's super. I absolutely love some of these titles. Where you title them yourself? You title your books yourself, or go ahead.
Well, usually when I'm writing, I have a working title of some type. Sometimes
uh-huh.
that title is the actual one I go with. For the example, the title for 7 days, that was the concept. That was what I went with the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Other ones, I'll come up with some working title, but it changes. My partner, Dominic, is the king of titles.
Oh, okay, good. So you have help with that.
If I'm having trouble with the title, I explain the book to him, and within an hour, he says, "How about this?" And it works.
Great, because they are good. They're good. They all very descriptive, and they I'm going to go through some winter love, spring reassurance, artistic pursuits, artistic appeal. That's your art series. That's part of the which series is that part of? The art.
That's part of the bottled up series.
The bottled up. Okay, got it. Oh, the bottled up. I see bottled up. Okay, and then we have child. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say that artistic pursuits is the third one in that series, and it just
uh-huh.
came out this week.
Okay, because it just says that was the first one that comes up, of course, when you go to andrewgraybooks.com. That's the latest release. And so you write these books in about a month. Now, that isn't very unusual for romance authors. I mean, Barbara Cartland and all these other people have written literally hundreds of these books. Is that correct?
Yes and no. Most authors do not write at
their
this
own?
Level. They don't.
Oh, okay.
They don't write this much.
Exactly.
You've got the Barbara Cartlands, and you've got those people that have written at this pace, but most people don't.
Okay, so for romance novels, because I have never met a gay. I know several gay romance novel people. I know several teen gay romance novel authors. Getting the niche even smaller and smaller, which is that's a new niche, is the young adult teen. And I was going to ask you about. If you were interested in that someday, because you got to clean it up for them, or else you can't get in the library. we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But it's amazing how this has expanded. Listeners are used to this. I don't think Andrew's heard my theories of gay literature. As we're now in the wonderful golden age of gay literature, I happen to know the numbers. Gay literature is one of the few moneymakers right now in literature, except for the big, you know, Harry Potter type stories or things like that. We're starting to read again. I think it's the younger gay people, and the reason that some of the social psychologists have given me, because I've come out and asked them, is the first set of gay literature, of course, you know, the hidden stuff, the coming out stuff. The second mm-hmm. phase of gay literature was the AIDS crisis, and that was a huge body of work for about 20, 25 years of the angst, the pain, the forgiveness, the terrible, terrible tragedies of AIDS and how it affected the community. And now we're in phase three, where people are just writing books, whether they're mystery novels or romance novels or science fiction novels or teen novels or coming of age novels or memoirs, and and it just happens to be that one of their characters has a gay voice or is gay or transgender or bisexual or lesbian. And so it's no longer the central theme. You know, your central theme isn't gay. Your central theme is love in a setting that could be a law office, say mythical satyr, or and so this is what I, when I tell people about the third phase of gay literature, it's so much more exciting than the other two, because it's such a deep fabric, and you're a big part of the romance. Of course, is the easiest to read. It goes the fastest, and not only is it easy to write, it's easy to read, and we love sex. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I think I'm about to shock you.
Okay, go ahead.
Because the reason, one of the major reasons that gay literature is so popular right now is because of straight women.
Right, I knew that too. I was going to say that too.
Because two-thirds of gay literature right now is being bought by straight women.
Right.
And two-thirds of gay literature right now is being written by straight women.
Yeah, I knew that too. But there's a lot the kids are buying. The kids are buying a ton. The younger generation.
Oh yes, they are.
Because they're
yes, they are.
First, yeah, they've got the money. They're doing it by Kindle. They're very. It's like they're absorbing it like a sponge. There's GSAs now forming in schools. We are seeing the American Library Association now has a, and this is what I was going to talk to you about, because you can probably break into this with your talent, because I've read some of your stuff, is if you write in a tone for PG-13 world, and you have openly gay characters just falling in love, you're about an R to an, you know, I think, I wouldn't put you at an NC-17, but you're about an R. So if you write it, if you tone it down a little bit, the American Library Association actually brands your book as in their what they call GLBT roundtable, and you can get it put in the library. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, yeah. I'm in a number of libraries.
Okay, I'm in high school library.
Oh yeah. My publisher is currently working on starting a young adult line.
Uh-huh. Well, you need to jump into that, because your stuff's good, and they'd love this stuff, because they are sponges right now. They are reading like crazy. So this is what we've talked about, that the young adults seem to be buying books more and sucking up, especially series. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Alex Sanchez series, the Rainbow Boys, Rainbow High, Rainbow Road, and I don't know what the fourth one is, but yeah, they're very popular, and they're as I said, once the ALA, the American Library Association, says this is age appropriate for 12 to 16, or this is age appropriate for 8 to 11, then it becomes an interesting thing. I don't know if you're familiar, but last year the Young Adult Novel of the Year was written by a straight man. And it was about a transgender girl in high school. So, transgender woman, that's right. So, anyway, let's get back to your writing. So, when you found your publisher and you started sending these things in, what kind of, are they fully edited? Did you ever have to, did they ever say, rewrite that, I need more sex, or I don't understand this? How much editing does it take writing a book a month? That's an incredible pace to be, you know, consistent. How are you doing with that? Is there a lot of editing going on?
It depends, but most of the editing that's being done for my books is line editing.
Oh, okay.
Punctuation, grammar, that sort of thing, or I'll get comments like, suddenly their coats are gone. What happened?
Okay.
You'll make a little mistake. But I have never been asked to rewrite this scene or change this and rework this.
Okay. So do you have a – do you do an outline before you write a book, or do you just go from beginning to end, shoot through it, and then go back and correct it? Because I've heard both ways.
I just go.
You just go straight through?
I have the idea. I basically know where the book's going to start. I generally know where the book's going to end, what I'm getting towards, and then I will spend the novel getting there.
Okay,
but no,
cool.
I don't generally spend a great deal of time outlining. Generally how it works is today I'll finish a book and tomorrow I start the next one.
Okay, so you just plow right through them and begin to end. It's all in your head. In other words, you don't put it on little boards all over the. I have a, you know, you don't put it on little post-it notes all over all over the place or make copious notes. Okay, so it all just comes out. Great, that's amazing.
It's all in my head.
Great. I found out about you through another website that I read regularly, Alyssa Roll's Live Journal. She's amazing.
Alyssa's a sweetheart.
Yeah, I had contacted her, and I did not realize she's in Italy. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
The first
review I ever got for one of my books was from her.
Uh huh. Yeah, she's got you listed several times as a, you know, but right, yeah, I've read many of her reviews in there, but she is absolutely amazing, and she gets incredible exposure. For those of you who don't know, Alyssa Roll Live Journal is ELISA/ROLLE. You can Google her and find her blog. I think she goes daily, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's daily, and you can punch in Andrew Gray in the search, and I think there's about 20 or 25 reviews that she's done of your books, which is absolutely amazing. I've never seen anyone that she's reviewed that many times. That she not only tells you why she liked it, she gives the mechanics of it and tells people what they will like and what they won't like. If you like this, then you will like this. So it's kind of like this, and you get nice comments. Would you like to hear your comments? It's on my to read list. I love people who do this because I do it too. I buy books and put them on my nightstand, and they kind of stack up. It was a nice office affairs themed love story. I liked the chosen stranger setting, and it was not some famous big metropolis. People really, when they take the time to write a review on a reviewer's website, you know that you have really moved people. And so I want to congratulate you on that. That on the list, at least on the list, which is the only one I've ever read your reviews on, you get a lot of comments. Do you get a lot of comments and letters through your website or your fan pages?
Yes, I get tons of comments. Usually, sometimes as many as 20 to 25 a day.
Uh huh. From all over, from where? From are those for women, men? Is that how you know they're women buying your stuff?
Women, men. I have gotten comments from Russia, sub-Saharan Africa.
Right.
I have gotten comments from South America, Australia, Asia.
Wow.
I've gotten comments from people who said that they got an electronic copy and they have to read it on the slide because it's illegal.
Right, right. Yeah, these are in many countries these books are totally, they're not allowed to be mailed into. It's strictly like in the 20s and 30s, total pornography. It's illegal to be a gay and lesbian publisher in about, I think, 14, 15 countries. And I think Russia's one of them. Actually, China is another one. Most of Africa, a lot of the nations in there do not allow GLBT books. But, of course, with Kindle and the Internet, that democratizes a lot of things. But people smuggle them in. I actually leave gay books when I travel in hotel rooms, kind of like spread Johnny Appleseed. But it's amazing what I've heard. I've heard the same thing you have, is that people, readers are all over the world now. I have friends who write in Australia, and they get letters from people in China and just like you said, Sub-Saharan Africa. And the Internet is amazing. Is that how you promote your books mostly?
Yeah, that's how I mostly do it, although I generally go to a number of conventions and mm-hmm. events throughout the year. I'll be at the Rainbow Book Fair in New York City in late March.
Uh-huh. I've been to that.
I will also be signing books at the Book Expo of America in New York in June.
Great.
I will be at Authors After Dark in New Orleans in August and the Gay Realm Lit Convention in Albuquerque in October.
Right. Oh, I've heard of that one.
And I'll be at Houston Pride in June.
So you've got, there's five or six, so that's every other month for the next year, so that's pretty good. Now, when you go out in public like this, what's your reaction? You've mentioned some straight organizations, you mentioned some gay organizations. Tell me about your reaction at the straight book fairs and book expositions.
incredibly accepting. Last year I signed books at BEA, and I had people lining up because the books are free. So a lot of people will just line up to see what the books are. And I had a woman come up to me that, I've never read anything like this. And I signed the book for her and gave it to her. And I said, and I put a card in there and said, now you have to tell me what you think.
Right.
And she wrote me about 3 days later saying, wow.
That's fun.
I never knew stuff like this existed.
Oh, that's too funny. That is just too funny. So you're Johnny Appleseed yourself. That's great. That is such a good story.
Yeah.
I love it. Wow, I never knew this.
I got an email from a man in New Hampshire. And this man was when he wrote the email, he was 77 years old.
Oh my God.
And his partner had recently passed away. And at the end of his life, his partner was blind.
Oh, no.
So he was reading the books to him. The last book he ever read to his partner was Love Means No Shame.
Oh, what a lovely book.
And it bawled my eyes out when I got this email.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. That must be amazing. So did you just send him another book? That is great.
Oh, I sent him anything he wanted.
I agree. Oh, my God. What a great story. I mean, you've actually touched a life that in a very unique way. Not just sex or getting somebody, excited for, a few hours or however long it takes to read. I'm a fast reader. Some people take 3 days. I can knock off a book in a few hours. That's great. Oh, what a wonderful story. So what's next? What's on the schedule for next? What's your next book?
Well, my next book is the third in the Love series. It's going to be A Helping of Love.
A Helping of Love. Of Love. Okay. Uh-huh.
Something of Love.
That's part of the chef stuff, the restaurant chef series, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then we have the fourth story in the art series, and that is Legal Tender.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
And then we start a whole new series with firemen.
You know how to make a boy happy, don't you?
Redemption by Fire will come out, I believe, in May.
Redemption by Fire. These are hilarious. These are so wonderful. I just love the names. That's why I asked you that question.
The working title for that one, which I didn't use, but the working title for that story was Redemption of an Asshole.
Okay. No, working title should stay that way, working way, way, but Redemption by Fire, it sounds like really hot. I've been trying to figure out like a good word for gay romance novels. Heterosexual female romance novels are called bodice busters, right? Is that right? Is that the right word?
Oh, they're bodice rippers. Yes.
Bodice rippers. Yeah, bodice rippers, because the strong man comes in and rips her bodice off and takes her gently but firmly on the bed. What do we have for men?
They're zipper rippers.
Zipper rippers. You've made my day.
They're zipper rippers.
Andrew Gray, zipper. We have 90 seconds left. I told you it'd be the fastest half hour of your life. Okay, 90 seconds left, Andrew. What would you say to a new writer?
Write what you love.
Write what you love. And how often?
Well, the other thing about production is write every day. You don't have to write a massive amount, but write every day. Get in the habit of writing every day.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Great. That's good. Okay, good. What about publishing? What do you think is going to happen with my last minute? Is always the same question. There's been, Borders just went out of business. Independent bookstores are struggling, if any of them are still around. They are on their last legs. You're selling on the internet. Most people are trying Kindle, iBook, iPad, and we're also saying, what do you think is the future of publishing?
The future of publishing is going to be electronic books.
Mm-hmm. You think what people are going to read?
Without a
doubt. Okay.
Over time, the traditional book is going to slowly fade. It's not going to go away, but it's going to slowly fade.
Okay. I think they're going to disappear. I think we're not going to have them. I think it's going to be like the Okay.
It's going to be a generational thing.
Right, exactly. Just like computers and everything else, you know, and that it'll be just part of our life like anything else. Listen, Andrew, we are all out of time. I really thank you for doing this. This is so much fun. I told you it'd be fast. Anyway, we are out of time, and good night from Fort Lauderdale. Thanks, Andrew. Take care.
Thank you.
Good night. Here we go.
Good night.
Jeff. Yeah.